longer message, but I'll try and shorten it up a little bit. We're going to start with Luke chapter 2, just verses 10 and 11 now, but we're going to spend a little time in Luke chapter 2. So go ahead and grab your Bibles and get there. I hope you had a good day today. It was an interesting day for me, but I survived. Cold out there today. Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 10. Let's read that. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." This is the second greatest event of all history, being announced by the angels. Of course, it's second only to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It says, God has come to dwell among us. Good tidings. There's a Savior being born. Let's pray again. Father, thank you for tonight, for this time, this holy time we have together to share in your presence and in your word. I pray that you would bless our time, that you would open our eyes and our ears to hear and receive from you, that your spirit would impart new inspiration and information straight from your heart to ours. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now think about this. Shepherds are out in the field and they're watching their sheep, and all of a sudden these angels appear. And I doubt that the Madison Avenue advertising firms would have thought about sending a messenger into the night, into the middle of the night, into a field of shepherds to tell them of this great event. And yet, that was God's way of announcing Jesus' birth to the world. It's amazing if you just think about that alone. God's ways certainly are not like our ways. Amen? He does things different than we would do it. He does things beyond what we logically would think as the right and sensible thing to do. Let's read the very familiar scriptures here in the second chapter of Luke. Starting this time, let's start in verse 8, and we'll follow through those again. It says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid, and you would be too." You know, in my mind, you know, my first thought is, oh, that would be so wonderful and glorious. But I tell you what, if you were out in the middle of the field and it's just you and the sheep and the other shepherds, and all of a sudden the whole sky just lit up and loud voices are singing and shouting great news, you would fall on your face and you would be afraid too. That would be an overwhelming thing. "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' And so it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.'" Now, we've heard this story many times. You're going to hear this story again, maybe several times before this Christmas season is over. I know you'll hear a lot of these scriptures in our Christmas Eve service. Never gets old. I never get tired of it. I hope you don't either. And as we've heard this story, as many times as we've heard it, it brings to mind those shepherds coming to the manger, seeing the Christ child, and you know, just you get that warm feeling inside. What an amazing moment that must have been. The humble nature of Christ's birth is completely remarkable. It's just unthinkable that God would do it that way. No great palace. You know, this King of Kings is surrounded not by members of nobility, but by common people. Think about this. If an angel hadn't announced this to the shepherds, it very likely would have gone unnoticed. At least until the Magi showed up a couple of years later. That very evening, if an angel hadn't come and spoken to those shepherds, nobody would have known. Nobody would have thought of it. Think about that. And I think it's significant that God first shared that news with common people. Not, you know, the elite of their time, not the educated ones of their day, not the rich, but common folk. That tells me that if shepherds are important to God, we're important to God. We're common folk here, right? For the most part. I mean, I know some of us are a little uncommon, but for the most part, we're common folks. God loves common people. God loves us. Now, let's go to the next passage here in Matthew chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, just going through the Bible story, at least a couple of aspects of it. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet Micah, by the way, 'But you, behold, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" And then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined them from them what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." And when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Story of the wise men is also the story of love and of worship and adoration. These were not common people, right? Shepherds, they were the common folks. These were not common people. They represented the aristocracy of the time. They were rich. They were educated. And they were valuable to God too. Yeah. The shepherds and the wise men, they come and they worship the child, the lower class and the upper class, both bowing before the Son of Man. But not everyone honored him, as we read. Not everyone would bow or bring gifts. There's this King Herod guy, a man of darkness and hatred and death. And if you read on to verse 16, Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. I can't imagine what it must have been like in those days. The king sending out a decree that all of those babies be slaughtered. King Herod. Why do people react like King Herod? Why do people, I mean, why at the prospect of God's presence and you know, why would he react that way? Most of us at the prospect of God's presence will react with love and happiness, and yet others are filled with darkness and despair and even anger. Even anger. There are many who might ignore the presence, right, or the message that there is a Christ, a Savior, but there is a contingency in humanity that just outright oppose him. You know, when I think you probably all know, I was an atheist. I pretty much just ignored God. I wasn't against God. I just didn't think there was one. And if you thought one, okay, that's good for you. But I wasn't opposed to that. I wasn't opposed to you as a believer. But there are some people who strictly are opposed to anything that has to do with God. And I think these scriptures, though, you know, through the example of the shepherds and the wise men and Herod, I think even in Herod, these scriptures can teach us something about Christmas, something about Christmas that would make it even more meaningful to us. And first of all, let's thank God that he chose to announce to the shepherd this wonderful news of the coming Messiah. Because I think they were prepared for this particular event. I think they were ready for it, right? They were Jews. These were Jews. They were God's chosen people. They were raised in the understanding of the foretold Messiah. There would be a Messiah coming. The soil of their souls, if you will, had already been prepared for this. It had been plowed and made ready for the planting of that glorious news that you would have angels deliver. You know, it didn't take a rabbi in those days to know that there was a promise that God would send a Messiah. The rabbis knew it, of course, but then all of Israel knew it as well. All of Israel was waiting for a deliverer. All of Israel was under the oppression of the Romans at the time. And of course, all of their history and all of the prophecy was leading them to a Messiah who would come and establish his kingdom. And they were ripe for that concept at that very moment. Every Israelite was praying for that deliverer to come, for that anointed one to come. History tells us that those shepherds were raising sheep. You know, Jerusalem and Bethlehem were just a short distance apart, and in between there were these hills where the shepherds would be raising those sheep. Those sheep were going to be sacrificial sheep, a lot of them. When families every year went to Jerusalem, they would have to bring a sacrifice. Most often it would be a sheep that would be sacrificed, a lamb that would be sacrificed, one without blemish that would stand in for the sin of them and their families. And so many of those sheep that were on those hills that those shepherds were watching after were going to be lambs to be slaughtered for the sin of the people who would come. The shepherds knew about the sacrifice. The shepherds knew what they were doing. They spent their lives in the hills outside of Bethlehem watching those little lambs be born, watching those little lambs be raised, watching them grow to the right age so that they would someday become the sacrifice, that someone would come and buy them and take them to the temple and offer them for their sins. These shepherds, they weren't scholars, but they realized that sin was awful enough in God's eyes that there must be the shedding of blood, and they were there providing lambs. So how appropriate would it be that these shepherds, that they would be the first to hear about the Lamb of God? I like that. The Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world, the Savior, the Christ, the Lord. They were ready for it. Their minds, yeah, they were uncomplicated, and yet they didn't think of reasons why they shouldn't believe. They just believed. You ever have that where you're sharing things about God with other people, maybe even a testimony, some miracle, and other people immediately start trying to figure out how that must have been something natural that just happened. And they try and find ways not to believe. I've run into that a lot. And if you're sharing with unbelievers, that is their first response. Oh, well, I'm sure you thought you had a gallstone or whatever, and it didn't just disappear. You just misdiagnosed it. The doctors didn't understand. You know, I saw a praise report come by recently about somebody who went to the doctor and they thought there was a cancer. And after the examination, there was no cancer. And they were really sure that there was cancer there, but there wasn't. I'm sure that those who read that of faith, like many of us in this room, go, praise the Lord for healing. And others who would see that would look at it and go, oh, well, I guess they never really did have anything. Anyway, I'm off my topic here. Now, these obvious shepherds knew what they were up to. They recognized the time being right for a Savior, and they were glad and joyful when they heard that news, and they responded immediately to the news they heard. Didn't they? And now they went and they saw the baby. Now let's consider the wise men. I believe the wise men were also prepared for this event. Evidently, though, they came from the east. They came on a long journey. But they must have been influenced by the prophets of Israel at some time or another. How would they know there would be a king coming to Israel? How would they know of this birth? As Pastor Ben mentioned, Balaam was a prophet in that region at one time that they may have remembered some of those prophecies of a star that would rise. It's also likely they were, because they came from the area where Daniel, the prophet, had been risen to a position of great influence in that Babylonian empire, that possibly they were exposed to some of Daniel's prophecies at some point or another. We don't know. No one knows for sure exactly how they knew that star in the sky was of significance. But what is clear is that the Magi were waiting and they were hoping. And when they saw that bright light, that star shining, they knew what it meant. They knew that it was something special. They recalled all of those things, I think, that they had learned and that they had prepared for. Because then when they saw that star, they did not wait. They responded immediately. They responded by preparing to make a journey, a long journey. Somewhere in Israel, a king was about to be born or was born, and they wanted to go and worship him. So like the shepherds, the wise men were prepared. I guess you could say they were ready for that first Christmas. Think about that. These wise men, they're hundreds of miles away. They weren't Jewish. They were pagans. And yet they were ready for Jesus. It's amazing. And then you have King Herod. Now it gets ugly. Interesting thing. The wise men were pagans. Herod was a Jew. They weren't Jewish. Herod was. Not only that, he was the ruler of Israel, a man who regularly consulted with the greatest religious scholars of his day. Despite all of those obvious advantages that King Herod had, he wasn't ready. Have you ever wondered why Herod and his scholars didn't see the star? I mean, they were certainly familiar with the prophecy. You think it maybe it wasn't bright enough for them where they were? I don't know. That doesn't make sense to me. It was bright enough for the wise men to see. You think it would have been bright enough for Herod too? Why didn't Herod hear the announcement of the angels? Why didn't he see the heavens lit up on that first Christmas? I mean, I think he could have seen, he could have heard, but like so many, he didn't have eyes to see or ears to hear. Christmas came to Herod surely as it came to the wise men, as surely as it came to the shepherds, but Herod didn't know it because he was not prepared. He was not prepared. We can see by his reaction to the wise men that he just really didn't understand what was going on. He had to ask them more. He had to ask for clarification. He had to send for the scribes and the other religious scholars to look through the scriptures to find out what these guys were even talking about. And we can see by his actions, after knowing that a new king was born, after understanding that still he had his own agenda and he wasn't going to be deterred by this child, this new king being born. That even again, the very word and presence of God in Israel, Herod ignored it, at least to the degree of him going and seeing the Christ child. I'd like to think if I was the king and I had missed it earlier, but some wise men came to me and said, oh, by the way, a new king has been born. And we've come to see him and we've come to honor and worship him. I would like to think I would say, cool, can I go with you? Show me where. I want to be part of that too. Not Herod. Not unlike many today, you see. For those who resist Jesus, who ignore what God has done through Jesus, who will press on with their own agenda, Christmas is going to come on December 25th just like it always does. But it will mean almost nothing to them because their hearts are cold. They're insensitive to what God is doing. They're insensitive to how God is trying to move in their lives and influence them. I don't know about you, but that creates a certain amount of angst in my heart. You know, Christmas is almost here, and much of the world is going to miss it. That bothers me. Or, you know, like us, they will celebrate on December 25th. There's going to be a celebration. They'll just miss the true meaning of Christmas. They'll miss the benefit of the Savior. There will be those who miss it. There always are. Because the world has no interest, they have no regard for this baby that was born in humble circumstances. They'll miss it, and the question is, will we? Will our families? You see, I missed a lot of Christmases. Before I got saved, you know, even before I was a proclaimed atheist, I still celebrated December 25th. I mean, like every kid my age, I was looking for those presents under the tree. I was all excited about Christmas. I liked the celebrations. I liked the food. I liked the family gathering. I liked all of that. Christmas was a great time. Christmas was my favorite holiday. I missed it, though. I mean, I missed the real meaning of Christmas. It was just a glorious, wondrous time when I got saved, and that first Christmas, realizing, oh my gosh, I missed all of this. I had no idea. Man, it made me weep to know all that I had missed before. I was like Herod. I just went on about my life. I just did whatever I wanted to do. I wasn't going to relinquish any of my power, any of my control to somebody that I had no regard for. I missed a lot of Christmases. had no regard for the Christ child. My heart was far from God. I was not prepared. I was never prepared until I got saved. But still, I think a lot of folks who have gotten saved still haven't really prepared themselves for Christmas. Is your heart soft? Are your ears sensitive? Can you hear what God is telling you? Can you hear of his unending love for you? You know, the shepherds and the wise men not only saw and heard, they also acted upon what they saw and heard. That's called faith, right? When you act upon what you know and believe. When they heard the message, the wise men and the shepherds, they were willing to step out. They were willing to take a journey. They were willing by faith to go and see and find this Christ child, to worship him, but not Herod. I love the words of the shepherds, by the way. I love that shortly after the angels went back into heaven, they said to one another, hey, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's go see this thing that has happened. They didn't say, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing, see if it's really true. They didn't question the message of God. They didn't question the announcement of the angels. They just believed. They went for it. For them, it was all about faith. They didn't sit around and think about all of the impossibilities. Man, oh man. I mean, humanly speaking, you know, angels come and they talk to you. Do you really think? Yeah. No, they just rushed to Bethlehem. They went to see the baby in faith. And how about the wise men? I mean, have you ever just thought what you would have done in their position, in their place? Can you see them standing in their courtyards getting ready for this long journey? They're loading up their camels with food and clothing and frankincense and myrrh and gold. And just then some neighbors are walking by and they're going, hey, what's happening, guys? What are you doing? Well, we're getting ready to take a long trip. Where are you going? Well, we're not really sure. Not really sure. Do you have a map? No, we're just going to follow a star. Oh, and what are you going to find when you get there? We're going to find a king. What's the king's name? We don't know. All we know is that we've seen the star, and we're going to follow that till it leads us to him. And then we're going to worship him. I tell you, it was a journey of faith. It didn't make sense to the natural mind. It's a journey of faith, you see. And faith doesn't make sense to our natural mind. It doesn't make sense to people who don't know the message and who don't share the faith. Your celebration of Christmas, my celebration of Christmas, doesn't make sense to those outside of the kingdom because they just... Well, they celebrate differently, don't they? It was a journey of faith. Faith can sometimes be a very lonely place. And I wish more people were with us. You agree? I wish this whole place was filled right now. Most remarkable, I think, from our lesson is Herod. The fact that he showed no faith. And he was born into the Hebrew nation. And he was raised in the Jewish faith. He knew the promise of the Messiah. And he wasn't interested. He didn't have faith. And even when he heard the message from the wise men. I mean, the wise men come to Herod's palace and they ask, where is this one who has been born the king of the Jews? We saw the star. We've journeyed all of this way. We've come to worship him. And when Herod heard the news of Christ, he just had a totally different response than the shepherds or the wise men. The Bible says Herod was troubled. He was troubled. He's asking, where? Where is this king? I haven't heard anything of a king. Quickly, he calls together, of course, the chief priests and the scribes, and they told him that the prophets had foretold the Messiah, the Christ, would be born in Bethlehem. For any Jew, you think that would be a message of joy. That's such good news, you would rejoice. But you know the story. Herod just sent the wise men on. He didn't go to them. He didn't go with them. He had a first-hand opportunity to learn about this new king, but he didn't have, again, the eyes of faith or the ears to hear. He just wasn't ready. The King of Kings is just a few miles away from Herod, and he doesn't even leave his palace. I think it's kind of funny. You guys go and you find him and you come back and tell me when you do. Now, I'll be the first to admit there's a whole lot that can't be explained in this Christmas story. I mean, how do you explain the virgin birth? How do you explain the heavens just lighting up and angels appearing? And you can't explain this mysterious shining star. I know some have tried, and astrologers kind of try and work out timing and planets aligning, but come on. We don't really know. You can't explain all of the drama and all of the glory and all of the wonder. Let's just accept it's divine. It is beyond our natural understanding to understand all of these things fully, how it happened, why. Well, we can know why. Before Christmas, however, is ever really going to be real to us, our journey also must be a journey of faith. With the benefit of Scripture, we can understand the events of Christmas now, but we'll never really completely understand the magnitude and the wonder of God's love, the love that He would sacrifice His only Son, that He would do that for us, and not just us collectively, He would do that for us individually. Understanding, I think, that completely is just beyond our human limitations. But we don't have to understand it all, do we, to believe it? Yeah, that's called faith. If I understood it all, I wouldn't need faith, would I? If everything was so crystal clear, there's no need for me to operate in faith. And as I mentioned earlier, these wise men and the shepherds, they acted on what they believed. They acted on faith from what they received. They were willing to pay the price. They were willing to make a sacrifice. They were willing to take a journey. I mean, again, think about the shepherds. When they said, let's go and see this baby. Let's go and see this thing. That was a major decision for them, because when they went to Bethlehem, they had to leave the sheep on the hills. They had to leave them in the dark. They had to leave them when the wolves were out. They had to leave them and trust that God would watch over them, that they wouldn't be attacked, that they wouldn't be killed. It took faith to say, we will leave behind all that we have, and we will go and we will seek the Lord. We're going to trust our flock. We're going to trust those little lambs in God's hands, that He'll take care of them. See, I've always hoped that when they got back, they found that all of their lambs were safe and sound. And that from that time on, God just continued to prosper them. Continued to prosper them and bless them in ways that they never dreamed, because they were willing to place everything in His hands. And the wise men, you know, they paid a price too. I mean, to travel to a strange and possibly on a dangerous journey just to pay homage to a new king, to give Him their gifts. The gifts alone were expensive. Gold and frankincense and myrrh. And when Herod learns about it, he's not interested. He doesn't want to bow before any other king. He's not trusting in God. He's just worried about losing his position. I mean, that's clearly his problem. Herod is not loosening his grip on anything. And that, again, is what I fear for many concerning Jesus. Because Jesus is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And many don't want to give up any part of their lives. They don't want to relinquish any power that they have. They don't want to relinquish any position or prestige that they may have. They want to hold on to it just like Herod. You know, Christmas is a worldwide celebration, and we love celebrations, but in the midst of the celebration, there is also, in this celebration, there is also an element of sacrifice. The sovereign God of heaven looked down and he saw us dying in our sins, and he said, I can't let that go on. I got to do something. I'm going to do something about it. And he surrendered his glory and his power, and he became a baby. He walked among us. He breathed our dust. He let us persecute him. He let us spit upon him and mercilessly beat him and drive nails into his hands and his feet. That's surrender. That's surrender. The very essence of Christmas is giving. It's not just brightly wrapped gifts, right? It's not just being among the people that we love. I love those parts. But it's also giving ourselves. It's also a sacrifice, surrendering ourselves to His will, surrendering ourselves to His desire. So here we are. Some of us may be like the shepherds. We don't have much. We may not know a lot, at least not what the world considers important, but we are ready. We're ready to listen. We're ready to respond in faith to what God has to say to us. Others are more like wise men, searching for the truth, continually asking questions, knowing His promise that if we will seek the truth, that we will find it. If we seek Him with our whole heart, we will find Him. Got your shepherds, you got your wise men, and then there are some Herods. Sadly, there are many like Herod who are antagonistic towards God, who hate Him rather than love Him. You have to be a little careful at your family gatherings during the holidays. I mean, if you talk about Jesus a bit much, do people get offended at your table? I know, it's like there are some people, even in your own family, who are not willing to just accept what you believe and what you know and why Christmas is what Christmas is. I tell you, every year at Christmas time, there's a great line that is drawn. There are people who are like shepherds and wise men who are coming to Jesus to worship Him, and there are those people like Herod who stand hard-hearted, resisting all that God is trying to do, trying to accomplish in their lives. And I pray that here we are like the shepherds and the wise men. I pray that all here are like the shepherds and the wise men, and I pray for the Herods, wherever they are. I pray for them. God wants to take every Herod and make them into the shepherd and wise men type of folks. God took me and changed my heart. God wants to take every one of those who are opposing Him, those who are refusing to give of themselves back to Him, to follow Him. God wants them. He loves them. We need to pray for the Holy Spirit to prepare the hearts of those Herods, like the hearts were prepared for the shepherds and for the wise men. You know, in this season, I just continue to encourage you, keep sharing Jesus with those around you. And Christmas time is the best time. I do a lot of this too at Easter time, because there's a lot of exciting stuff about the resurrection and all that surrounds that people don't know, and they you can pique their interest at that time because it's just part of our culture. But I tell you, Christmas is the best time because people are just in a happier mood, and they're more open, I think, at Christmas time to hearing about Jesus. Maybe that little baby in the manger isn't so threatening to them. So continue to share and pray that the Holy Spirit prepare their hearts to receive that kind of message. Pray that they're inspired and willing to make a journey of faith. Pray that when they do, that they would be willing to surrender to Him. I know a lot of folks who are believers, but there's little surrender. Pray. Pray for those. And though we've focused on these folks from the past, I think that same invitation needs to be extended to us this day, to this generation, to really every generation until Jesus returns. God invites us to come. He invites us to His manger. He invites us to His throne. He invites us to come to the foot of His cross and to know fully His love, to know fully His care and concern for each and every one of us. Accept that invitation and then spread the word. I mean, you know what it's like. You get invited to a great celebration. You're usually not very quiet about it. It's not a secret. You let everybody know, hey, this is a great time. I got an invitation to this, whatever great thing it is. Well, you got an invitation to the greatest gift of all, the greatest celebration of all. Share that. Invite others to come and join you. You know, it's not a closed a number of people that can make it in. Everybody that will come, everybody who will give their hearts to Jesus, everybody who will accept that invitation is welcome. Hallelujah. All right. Lord, I thank You for all the wonder and the glory and the divinity of this time of year and of the story of a baby born in Bethlehem. I thank You, Lord God, that even though it is beyond our full comprehension, that You have shown us more than enough for us to appreciate and come to know Your love and Your grace in our own lives. Lord, I pray that You help us to spread that word, to share it with others in a way that will be effective, in a way that will minister to them, in a way that will reach their hearts and soften them. Lord, let this be a great time of personal evangelism. And let it also, Lord God, be a time of our own personal reflection and continued dedication and surrender to Your will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Oh,